This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to identify the unspoken emotional needs driving your goals. Uncover what you really want before your goals lead you somewhere you never meant to go. In short, most goals are emotional needs wearing a disguise. The promotion, the salary target, the project you cannot let go of, these rarely mean what they appear to mean on the surface. Self-awareness is the practice of looking underneath, and it changes not just what you pursue, but why. Unspoken emotional needs silently shape every goal you set. Without self-awareness, you can achieve a goal and still feel nothing. Identifying the real need first makes every step towards your goal more deliberate. Definition: emotional needs goals describes the hidden psychological drivers beneath the objectives you set. Self-awareness, in this context, is the capacity to trace a stated goal back to the internal need it is trying to meet, so you can pursue it with honesty and intention rather than habit. A colleague of mine spent 4 years chasing a director title. She worked brutal hours, took on projects nobody else wanted, and sacrificed more weekends than she can now count. She got the title. Within 6 months, she resigned. When I asked her what happened, she was quiet for a moment. Then she said, "I thought I wanted the authority. What I actually needed was to feel like my contribution mattered. The title did not give me that." She had confused a goal with an emotional need. The goal arrived. The need remained untouched. Self-awareness is the ability to catch the gap before it costs you 4 years. Most people skip this step entirely, not because they are careless, but because looking inward feels vague and uncomfortable compared to the concrete clarity of a target you can measure. This article gives you a specific, ordered process for identifying the unspoken emotional needs driving your goals. You will be able to name what is actually beneath your ambitions and use that knowledge to pursue what genuinely matters. Why seeing your own emotional needs is harder than it sounds. The difficulty is not stupidity, it is proximity. You are too close to your own experience to see it clearly, the way you cannot read a page that is pressed against your face. Emotional needs hide inside perfectly reasonable sounding goals. The need for recognition arrives dressed as ambition. The need for safety arrives dressed as financial planning. The need to belong arrives dressed as team leadership. None of these disguises are dishonest, they are just incomplete. And when the goal is achieved without the need being met, you feel a hollowness you cannot explain. There is also the matter of social acceptability. Saying "I want to earn more money" is acceptable in any professional setting. Saying "I need to feel secure, because I grew up watching my family struggle" takes a kind of courage most workplaces do not invite. So the real language stays unspoken, even inside your own head. This is why self-examination without a clear process tends to go in circles. You think about what you want, you arrive back at the same surface level answers, and nothing shifts. What follows is a process that works. I know it works because I have used it imperfectly for decades. Before you start, one condition the process requires. You need a specific kind of honesty with yourself before any of these steps will yield anything useful. Not brutal self-criticism, not relentless positivity, just a willingness to sit with an uncomfortable answer without immediately explaining it away. If you notice yourself justifying every response rather than simply observing it, pause. The part of your mind that justifies is protecting something. What it is protecting is usually exactly what you need to find. The six-step process for uncovering emotional needs beneath your goals. Step 1. Write the goal as a single, concrete sentence. Start with precision. Vague goals produce vague self-awareness. Write your goal in one sentence that a stranger could understand without context. Not grow professionally, but be appointed head of operations within 18 months. Not improve my relationships, but have at least one honest conversation with my manager every week. The specificity matters because emotional needs hide most easily inside abstract language. When you make the goal concrete, you give yourself something firm to examine. Step 2. Ask what achieving this goal would prove. This is the first real excavation. Write your answer to this question. If I achieve this goal, what will that say about me as a person? Do not edit the answer. Write whatever comes first. Common answers include that I'm capable, that I was right, that I'm worthy of respect, that I can be trusted, that I did not fail the way someone expected me to. Each of these points toward a core emotional need: competence, vindication, belonging, trust, or redemption. For example, If your goal is to build a successful business, and your answer is it will prove I did not need anyone's help, the underlying need may be autonomy, or it may be a deeper need to repair a story about your own capability. Both are worth knowing. Step 3. Identify the feeling you are actually chasing. Goals pursue outcomes. Emotional needs pursue feelings. Name the specific feeling you believe this goal will create when you reach it. Use precise emotional language, not general words like happy or good. Are you chasing security, recognition, relief, belonging, pride, the freedom of not having to explain yourself? Sit with each option. The one that makes your chest tighten slightly is usually the right one. This is where many people discover a mismatch. The goal points outward. The feeling they want is something only an internal shift can create. A new title will not make you feel permanently respected if you do not yet respect your own judgment. A salary increase will not make you feel secure if security for you is about something that money cannot touch. Understanding how unspoken expectations create tension at work often begins here, in this same misalignment between what we say we want and the feeling we are actually seeking. Step 4. Find the fear on the other side. Every emotional need has a corresponding fear. If you need recognition, you fear being invisible. If you need security, you fear losing control. If you need belonging, you fear being excluded. Name the fear directly. Write the sentence and complete it. If I do not achieve this goal, the worst thing it would mean about me is. Again, do not edit. The answer will be sharper than you expect. This is one of the most clarifying exercises I know, and I have used it in difficult conversations with people for the better part of 40 years. The fear named is a fear that can be worked with. The fear unnamed runs the show from the back room. This same dynamic, where unnamed fear drives behavior in ways we cannot see, sits at the heart of what happens during an amygdala hijack in high-pressure moments. The fear activates first, the thinking follows. Step 5. Check whether the goal actually serves the need. Now you have three things: the goal, the emotional need, and the fear. Hold all three together and ask a simple question. Will achieving this goal genuinely meet this need, or will it only feel like it might? Be rigorous here. If your need is to feel that your contribution matters, will a title change provide that reliably? If your need is belonging, will a solo achievement actually give you the connection you're looking for? Sometimes the answer is yes, the goal and the need are well matched. Often, the goal is a reasonable path towards the need, but not the only one, and knowing that opens up new options. Occasionally, the goal actively undermines the need, the way my colleague's relentless individual performance undermined her deeper need to feel part of something. If you find the goal and the need are poorly matched, you have two choices: revise the goal to better serve the real need, or find a parallel path that meets the need more directly while you pursue the goal for other legitimate reasons. Step 6. Write the goal with the need named inside it. This final step is not about changing what you pursue. It is about changing how you pursue it and what you pay attention to along the way. Write your goal statement to include the emotional need it is meant to serve. I want to be appointed head of operations within 18 months becomes. I want to be appointed head of operations within 18 months because leading a team is where I feel most capable and most connected to work that matters. The goal is the same. The awareness is entirely different. This matters practically because it changes how you respond to setbacks. When you know you're pursuing connection alongside a title, a setback in one area does not have to collapse the other. You can meet the need even when the goal is delayed. For managers, this kind of self-examination also changes how you read your team. Understanding how unmet needs drive team conflict becomes far more intuitive once you have done this work on your own drives first. Adapting this process when you are under pressure. The process above works best with time, a pen, and quiet. Most people do not always have those conditions. When you are in the middle of a high-stakes period, and a goal feels urgent and non-negotiable, the steps compress. In those moments, use a single question as a rapid version of this entire process. What am I most afraid will happen if this goes wrong? That question, asked honestly and answered without immediate justification, will surface the emotional need faster than any other single prompt I know. It bypasses the rational justifications and goes directly to the root. The answer you get is an early signal, not a finished analysis. Use it to notice your own reactions during the pressured period. If you find yourself reacting with disproportionate intensity to a comment or a setback, that is almost always the unmet emotional need making itself known. Recognizing the pattern in real time, rather than weeks later in reflection, is one of the practical rewards of developing the confidence to stay calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction. When you find yourself in disagreement with others about a direction or decision, the needs beneath your goals are often part of what is actually in conflict. The DEAL method for resolving disagreements about feedback gives you a structured way to surface and work through those differences when they emerge in a professional setting. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where this process goes wrong. Most people who attempt this kind of self-reflection run into predictable problems. Each one has a clear correction. The mistake, stopping at the first answer you give yourself. Why it happens, the first answer is always the socially acceptable one. What to do instead? After your first answer, ask, and what does that mean? At least twice more. Three layers down is usually where the real need lies. The mistake, treating the emotional need as a weakness to be resolved. Why it happens. Many people were taught that emotional needs are liabilities. What to do instead? Treat the need as information. It is not a flaw. It is data about what genuinely drives you, and that data is an asset. The mistake, doing this exercise once and assuming it is permanent. Why it happens. Needs shift as circumstances change. A person who needed recognition at 30 may need autonomy at 50. What to do instead? Return to this process at the start of any significant new goal, or any time a goal stops feeling motivating without obvious reason. The mistake. Confusing the need for another person's approval with a need for genuine connection. Why it happens. Both feel similar in the moment, but they have completely different implications for how you pursue the goal. What to do instead? Ask whether the feeling you want requires a specific person to provide it, or whether it is about a quality of relationship, and work more broadly. The answer tells you whether you're building something or depending on someone. For teams dealing with similar dynamics between colleagues, the DEAL method for diffusing tension between people who refuse to cooperate addresses what happens when unexamined individual needs collide in a shared space. Your self-awareness check before you commit to a goal. Use this before you invest serious time, energy, or public commitment into any significant goal. Write your answers. Do not just think them. Number 1. State the goal clearly. Can I write it in one sentence a stranger could understand? Number 2. Name the proof. What will achieving this goal say about me as a person? Number 3. Name the feeling. What specific emotional state am I expecting this goal to produce? Number 4. Name the fear. What is the worst thing it would mean about me if I do not achieve this? Number 5. Check the match. Will this goal reliably meet the emotional need I identified, or is it a proxy? Number 6. Check for alternatives. Is there a more direct way to meet this need alongside or instead of this goal? Number 7. Write with honesty. Can I state this goal in a way that includes the emotional need it serves? If you cannot answer questions 3 and 4, you are not ready to commit fully to the goal yet. That is not a failure. That is the process working. Strong self-awareness also correlates directly with how well leaders handle workplace tension, because leaders who understand their own emotional needs are far less likely to let those needs run their decisions without notice. The goal was never the point. Here is what 40 years of watching people work hard at the wrong things has taught me. The goal is not the thing. It is the map to a thing. And a map is only useful if you know where you actually want to go. When you take the time to name the emotional need beneath the goal, you do not weaken the goal. You give it a root. Rooted things are harder to knock over when the ground gets rough. They also tend to grow in a direction that makes sense. The practice of self-awareness is not a one-time insight. It is a discipline you return to every time a new goal pulls at your attention, and every time an old one stops feeling like it matters. Tend to your emotional needs goals with the same seriousness you give to your plans, and you will spend far fewer years arriving at places you never actually wanted to be. Frequently asked questions. What are emotional needs in goals? Emotional needs in goals are the deeper psychological drivers beneath what you say you want. A goal to earn more money might mask a need for security. A goal to get promoted might hide a need for recognition. These unspoken needs shape your choices more than you realize. How do emotional needs goals affect your behavior at work? When emotional needs go unrecognized, they create confusion, frustration, and conflict. You pursue goals that feel hollow when you reach them, or you react defensively when progress stalls. Naming the underlying need gives you clarity and helps you respond deliberately rather than reactively. Why is self-awareness important for identifying hidden emotional needs? Self-awareness is the practice of observing your own thoughts, feelings, and reactions honestly. Without it, emotional needs stay invisible and drive your behavior from below the surface. With it, you can trace any goal back to its root and decide whether that root is worth feeding. How do I know if an unmet emotional need is driving my goal? Watch for disproportionate reactions. If a setback triggers feelings far stronger than the situation warrants, an unmet need is usually involved. Ask yourself what losing this goal would mean about you as a person. The answer almost always points directly to the underlying emotional need. Can recognizing emotional needs change the goals I set? Yes, and it often should. Once you see the emotional need beneath the goal, you may find a more direct way to meet it. Or you may confirm the goal is genuinely right, but for clearer reasons. Either outcome makes you a more deliberate, self-aware person. What is the difference between a goal and an emotional need? A goal is an outcome you pursue. An emotional need is the internal state you hope that outcome will create. Goals are about the external world. Emotional needs are about how you want to feel. Confusing the two is how people spend years chasing the wrong things. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.